Imagine you are at the zoo and you're in that part of the zoo where, you know, the animals can kind of roam around and you can feed them and you're kind of walking around the pen with them. And imagine there is just this muddy, dirty pig running around. And you have a choice at that moment. You can decide whether to be where you are and allow this gross, muddy pig to run around you, or you can make the decision to jump on top of the pig and wrestle it. One of them is a much messier situation to put yourself in.
You're listening to episode 257 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast, where we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset.
The courage to face fears with persistence.
Being able to be present enough in this moment to choose my response thoughtfully.
We have the strength to bend to life stressors, to bend to adversity without snapping, without breaking.
There are only six things that contribute to our quality of life, and they are all experiences.
In every moment, we are deciding who we want to be and how we want to live our lives.
Noticing what your brain is doing and then being able to make choices.
Mobilize the things that we know lift us up.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to this episode of the Building Psych Strength podcast. My name is April Seifert, and I'm your host. Today, we are tackling a topic that is one that we hear from people maybe more than anything else. We hear things like, oh, I have this really strong inner critic, or, oh, like I, you know, always get down on myself, or I judge myself, or I get worried about taking an action because all I can think about is all of the horrible things that could happen as a result of me taking that action. Specifically, to sum all of that up, what we're talking about today is negative thinking or negative thoughts and what to do about it or how to get rid of them. I'm excited. Ashley's here. I know this is something you talk with your patients about a lot. So I'm super pumped that you're here this week.
Yes, I'm excited to talk about it. So, I think this applies across the board when we just kind of think about negative thoughts as a category of thoughts. So it's the ones you were talking about, like the inner critic or the self-critical thoughts. It's name calling of ourselves and others, judgments of ourselves and others, the catastrophic thinking and all of the worries that focusing on the worst case scenario or the downside or everything that's wrong. So it's just anything that kind of falls into that negative thinking category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can remember, you know, there were a couple of, and I'm going to go to some of the most difficult times in my life, like really difficult times in my life when I actually ended up going to therapy myself just because I couldn't get a handle on this. And a lot of it did center around these negative thoughts. It was thoughts that I was working so hard to try to avoid and to get rid of. I didn't want to have to focus on them. So I've spoken very openly about having postpartum anxiety. There were some intrusive thoughts with that. There were also just like thoughts about I was having trouble breastfeeding at the time. Like that was really difficult. And I'm like, I can't go into public with this baby because I'm not going to be able to feed her and she's going to be crying. And like all the catastrophic thinking that goes with that. And this is why this is so important, because guess what I did then? I didn't go into public. I completely changed my behavior. My world became so much smaller. Like, you know, when we talk about an episode like this, we're like, oh, we're talking about negative thoughts. It can seem so surface level, but when you think about the impact that our thoughts have on our behavior and on our life experience,
right?
You're really talking about a big, deep topic here, which is why we wanted to cover it.
Absolutely. Well, and I like that you're willing to share these personal examples, but in that case, you know, what you did to get rid of these negative thoughts was avoid the situations that triggered them.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people do, right? It's so natural to want to get rid of these negative thoughts because They're uncomfortable, they're unpleasant, they lead to feelings of anxiety or sadness or anger or guilt or shame or embarrassment or disgust. A lot of times when we have those feelings, they're being driven by negative thinking. Now, not always, and that's a different topic for a different day, but these negative thinking has such a huge impact on how we feel, how life feels, on what we do. So of course people want to get rid of them.
And it's every aspect of our lives, right? In every our romantic aspect. Relationships, in our professional realm of our life, when we're parenting, even when we're by ourselves, the relationship we have with ourselves is impacted by these. And to your point, you can understand when you really take stock of how important this is, how you know, impactful it is on us. You get why people want to get rid of them. Who doesn't? I mean, literally Google right now. I haven't done this, but I bet there are hundreds of thousands, if not more, responses that come up, how to get rid of your inner critic. Just that one type of negative thought, how to get rid of your inner critic, how to get rid of anxiety. These basic things, they're like the most common things that people ask for. But Ashley, do you want to just get to the punchline about the sick joke here? Like, just lay it on us. And when she does, please don't tune out because we've got stuff for you.
Right.
But lay it on us.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. So we want to help you actually get rid of these negative thoughts. Okay. Whatever you do right now, and I mean it, whatever you do, wherever you are, do not think of a pig in a tutu. Now you're laughing or you're smiling or you're thinking, what happened? I just thought about a pig in a tutu.
Don't do it. Don't think about it.
Yeah. And I love this to really make the point of trying not to think about something actually makes you think about it more. So when people say, I just want to get rid of these negative thoughts, or just don't think that way, or just don't be so negative, it's actually making the problem worse. Mm-hmm. So I hate to disappoint, but there really isn't a way to control, alt, delete negative thinking. We want to talk about why, and we want to give you some alternative strategies. That's why April said, don't tune out, because we really do have some things that work, meaning they are helpful and will help reduce the impact that negative thoughts have on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that you went with the pig in a tutu, because really what we're going to get at today is the relationship that we have with respect to these thoughts, and we can cultivate that. So I'm also going to go with a pig example. We just have a theme today. That's great. But like, imagine you are at the zoo and you're in that part of the zoo where, you know, the animals can kind of roam around and you can feed them and you're kind of walking around the pen with them. And imagine there is just this muddy, dirty pig running around, cute maybe from afar, but running all over the place. And you have a choice at that moment. You can decide whether to be where you are and allow this gross, muddy pig to run around you, or you can make the decision to jump on top of the pig and wrestle it. One of them is a much messier situation to put yourself in. And when Ashley talks about you can't get rid of them, and in fact, by trying to get rid of them, you're actually making them worse. What you're doing is you're wrestling the muddy pig. You're saying like, I'm going to force you to do something that isn't natural for our minds. And you end up putting all this energy in and you walk away just dirty.
You don't walk away
in a good position. So we've talked about pigs a lot. Maybe we can talk a little bit about why we can't get rid of them. Like, why are they so prevalent? This is one of the most common questions, most common problems that you get, that we get at Peak Mind.
Absolutely.
Like, why can't we get rid of them?
Well, I want to start by saying one of the biggest things that just comes up, and I think that really causes problems, is people tend to believe they have more control over their minds and more control over their thoughts than they actually do.
Mm.
Think about it, right? It's not something that most people would just say like, well, yes, here's what I think. But really, we run around tending to believe that we have control over our brain, that we have control over our mind and therefore over our thoughts. And the reality is we just don't have that much control. It's about like saying you've got control over your stomach. Yeah, you can feed it or not feed it, but it's going to do what it does, right? And I like to use that comparison because our brain is an organ and thinking is what it does. So I want to start there and say we need to adjust our expectations here and really understand we do not have conscious control over our thoughts. And that's why I like the don't think about a pig, because you're going to think about it, right? It's this unruly thing that misbehaves and follows its own rules. Now, that aside, I know what we talked on other episodes about our mind's natural tendency toward negativity. And if we go back to caveman days and we take this evolutionary perspective, early humans who survived were the ones who were very tuned into potential threats. So that means that our mind started to look toward the negative, right? What are the things that are threatening? What are the things that indicate something is wrong or something bad is about to happen? Those were the ones who survived to pass along their genes. So we are the descendants of very anxious, negative brains. So that's important to know too, is that there's nothing wrong with you. And when people say like, don't be so negative, they're really saying, hey, don't do what comes naturally to human brains.
Well, and it's so nice to hear that right out of the gate, because, you know, it means that there's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. You're not weak because you have this inner critic or whatever your negative thoughts are that you're coming to this episode with them in mind. It just means that your mind is doing what it's naturally wired to do. It's being very adaptive, albeit not the most helpful thing to you as you're thinking about standing up and presenting something in front of your boss in a business meeting. And all you can think about is how terrible you are and how you're going to mess up.
It's not adaptive
or it's not helpful in that situation, right? But like evolutionarily, it's been very adaptive for us.
Right. Keep going.
Well, and what I was going to say is like, this kind of goes back to the pig and wrestling with it, right? Mm-hmm. The pig's not going to like it very much. If you out of the blue, it's like bebopping along in the pen at the zoo, happy in its own filth, whatever. And you jump on top of it and wrestle it. It's going to fight back. Like you're going to be in a bit of a struggle there that was bigger than the struggle than if you just sort of let the pig hang and do its own thing. And our minds are very similar in that regard. Like, it's another basic principle of what type of content our mind will serve up to us. Our mind serves up to us the type of content that we engage with. It's like the Facebook algorithm, right? Or TikTok. Yeah. TikTok has a very indulgent algorithm. If you're not on that, that platform, you'll notice it. I know it's so addictive, but you'll notice it right away. It is a very indulgent algorithm. You like a particular cooking thing and it will flood you with cooking things. Our mind has that type of algorithm baked in that if you are doing the equivalent of liking something, and liking just means wrestling with it and paying attention to it, it's going to serve you more of that.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that we need to really kind of hit here is that negativity becomes a habit. Like, it's our natural inclination, but it becomes a habit. And I always go back to a comparison with posture. Like, growing up, I was a ballet dancer and I had perfect posture because I had this old school dance teacher who was very strict on it, right? So always walked around very straight. And then I got through school and got a desk job. We're gradually sitting all day and, you know, being comfortable in a chair, my posture started to slip, right? To get a little slumped and a little rounded. And then that just sort of became the default. Now I'm trying to correct it again by being more aware of when I'm slouching and correcting it. And it's very much the same thing. So negativity is our natural inclination, but the more we kind of indulge it and give into it, the more it becomes our habit and our default.
Mm-hmm. And here's what's really cool about this. I want to like drill into that habit piece really quick. Mm-hmm. We're talking about two basic fundamental processes of our minds that are just, this is just how it works, right? The fact that we are biased toward negativity and the fact that our mind wants to back burner as much as possible and create habits about it. If we focus on negative things and if we engage with negative things, it, like all we're doing is telling our mind, please create a habit around that, because I don't want you to have to continue to work so hard to engage with that type of, you know, stimuli that's coming from our environment or even coming from our internal environment. Go ahead and just assume every time something that like that comes up that it's important. Like, just go ahead and assume that, like, create a back burner heuristic that, like, is it negative? Yes. Okay, great. It's important.
Yeah. I like, I'm going back to that TikTok analogy. I really liked that of just, it's like, oh, cool. You like this content, even though you might be saying, but I don't like these thoughts. It's not, what are you saying with your words? It's what are you saying with your attention?
Yeah. Right?
So think about like a toddler at the grocery store. Mom, I want a candy bar. No, I want a candy bar. No. Throws a fit. So you give the candy bar. What did that kid learn? Not what you told it. Like, I don't tantrum. No, what the kid actually learned was tantrum and get a candy bar, tantrum and get what I want. Right. So when our minds tantrum with these negative thoughts, if we're given into meaning, we're paying attention to it, we're listening, we're letting it influence and control our actions, we're given into candy bar.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And we're not going to go too far. In a minute, we'll get into some good strategies, like evidence-based strategies, not like wrestle the pig and try to try to force tame your inner critic and force it to go away.
Right.
Nothing like that. We'll give you actual evidence-based strategies in just a minute. But I want to make just a connection to other episodes that we've done in the past, because we're not going to get deep into this topic today, but it's an important one. We're talking about your relationship with these negative thoughts being very attention fueled, right? Attention driven. Mm-hmm. What activity trains you to be good at either focusing or directing your attention? It's meditation and mindfulness. So we're not going to get into those big topics today, but I want to just make a sort of put a little pin in that topic. Like, if you're interested here, go back and you can go to peakmindpsychology.com/blog. There's a search bar. Just search for meditation or search for mindfulness. You're going to get all of our episodes that are focused on that. Here's what's cool about those activities. By doing them, which is akin to just shooting free throws and developing muscle memory, what you're training your mind to do, you're giving yourself more control over the degree to which your mind focuses. Does it focus really narrowly on one topic, or does it widen and take in a lot of different stimuli at the same time, and on the direction that your attention goes? So when you have these negative thoughts, they like suck your attention there. What meditation and mindfulness does is it helps you recognize that you're having a thought and then direct your attention elsewhere. So we won't go super deep into that any more than that, but I just wanted to make sure that I drew a connection to another important topic that we tend to talk about a lot on the podcast.
Yeah.
Because if you're in this camp, we'll give you some quick strategies in just a moment. But if you want like the sledgehammer strategy, that one's a really good one.
That's it. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's dive in. Ashley, do you want to start with some thoughts about what people can do? Because you do this all the time with your clients.
I do, because everybody comes in. I have these thoughts I don't like. I want to get rid of them, and I have to go through all of this, how we can't necessarily do that. Sometimes we can change the thoughts. A lot of times we focus on changing the impact they have. So a couple of quick strategies. One that I super love, and I do this with kids and with adults, and that is give it a name. So a lot of times that, you know, in my private practice, I work with anxiety. So I'll say name anxiety, but you can also name the inner critic. You can name just that voice of negativity. If you have the one that's the discounting the positive, the, yeah, but I won the lottery. Yeah, but I have to pay taxes now. Give it a name. It's going to sound a little cheesy, but what that really does is help you recognize, oh, that's just bossy Bob talking, or that's just the critic, or that's just, I don't know, the catastrophizer, whatever name you want to give it, it helps separate you from it. And it makes it a little bit easier to just tune out.
Mm-hmm. And I like too that the, you know, you mentioned like the recognition of it. In some ways, even thinking about a person, not you, like, but a separate person other than you, who really personifies what that voice sounds like. I've talked in long time ago. I did an inner critic episode, and I talked about my own inner critic and the voice that he has. It's a man, a man's voice in my mind. And I named him Rick. And I said, okay, this guy went, because it felt like a very, apologies to anybody named Rick out there. You are a fine person. You are not this person. But I know one Rick in particular who this fit really beautifully with. And what that allowed me to do is say, no, April, this is not you. This isn't the truth. This isn't an accurate prediction. This has nothing to do with you. This is just this separate person who's sort of speaking in this moment. So even like the person's name who best personifies or best prototypes this particular voice, name it that person's name.
I actually really love that one and couldn't come up with, I didn't want to use a name that might offend, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So Rick's out there, you are lovely.
Sorry, Rick.
Set
that one.
If you are the one Rick, you probably don't even know. We probably have a lovely relationship too, but anyway, it's all fine. It's not you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But that's a great strategy, is just to give it a name. And the other one that's kind of similar, but a little bit of a different take on it. So strategy two is to name the story. Mm. So you will probably notice that you have a lot of the same thoughts every day, because repetitive. Thinking is a habit.
Yeah.
We have the same thoughts. I don't know. I think I've seen like 90% of your thoughts are a repeat. I like to call them frequent flyers. But if you have this frequent one, name the story. Is it the you're going to fail story? You're going to die alone story? Everybody's going to leave you story? The you let everybody down? The
I'm a bad mom story?
Yeah. Oh, yes. People can't be trusted. The world is a terrible place. Like, what is that negative story? Give it a name. And when you notice it, you say, oh, there's that I'm the failure story. I've heard that one before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same kind of labeling it. So you're acknowledging it. We can't necessarily full on ignore. Like sometimes I picture people will try to ignore their negative thoughts, right? They're like, okay, cool. I heard you on the don't give it attention. So instead they're like sitting over there, plugging their ears, you know, mentally going, la, 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 la. Like, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Think about when you're a kid, right? And your sibling is all, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. It still ticks you off, right? Mm-hmm. So they're still getting a reaction from you. So it doesn't work to la, 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 la in the corner. Give it a name and then move on from it.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to go back to the example of the toddler throwing a tantrum. Mm-hmm. Because so many times with this next strategy, so many times we, and we've talked about this a bit in the past, like we fuse with our thoughts. We think that our thoughts are important. We get wrapped up in them. And we almost treat our thoughts as though they are the boss. They are the voice of authority. They are the person who gets to tell me what to do. And you get to decide, like we've talked a lot on the podcast about, you are not your thoughts. You are a separate entity from your thoughts. Your mind just generates them. They don't mean anything most of the time. They're not accurate and truthful, but we treat them that way. And what that means is, you over time, as you're naming the person who it sounds like, as you're naming the story, you can decide the relationship you're going to have with your thoughts. Are you going to treat your thoughts as though they are your boss, as though it is the voice of an authority figure telling you what you can and can't do? Or are you going to treat those thoughts as the voice of a toddler throwing a fit? I mean, and in both cases, perhaps, these thoughts are yelling. In both cases, maybe they're negative. In both cases, they are prescriptive, telling you what you can and can't do. But one of them carries a lot more weight than the other one. A toddler carries a lot less weight than your boss. So as you're naming them, consider even naming that voice after a child you know, or naming the title of that story something that brings up the notion of someone who does not have authority over you. Mm-hmm. Because that relationship is one, again, that we can cultivate over time. Will any of these work immediately? No. But what we're talking about here is putting in some reps to build that muscle over time and change the relationship that you have.
And I think you could turn this one, if you want like a super quick and easy strategy, like concrete to use, mm-hmm. turn it into a question. All right. Are these thoughts my boss or are they the toddler?
Ooh.
And there you go. Like just turn it into a question. And as we move into the last strategy, it's a little bit of a different one because so far we tend to really focus on changing our relationship to our thoughts, understanding that we don't want to wrestle the pig, right? Because doing that makes a bigger mess. There are sometimes strategies that actually involve changing the content of your thoughts. So changing, like actually changing what you're thinking. That's what this one is. It's the, but at least it's a balanced thinking. So when I think about negativity as the, you know, I won the lottery. Yeah. But I have to pay taxes on that money now. That's the mind finding the yeah, but just taking anything and spinning it negative. One of my favorite strategies is to find the but at least. With kids, I call it flip it, like flip it from a negative to a positive. So that would be, but at least I got a lot of extra money I wasn't planning on just from a $1 investment in a lottery ticket. Or, why am I going? I'm going blank. And that's really embarrassing on a podcast recording. But at least I'm getting to sit here and talk with April, and I know she'll jump in if I flounder too much. Right? So we can take anything and find the but at least because it's there. So that's another strategy to really counter negativity, particularly with that flavor of negativity. You can do it with the critic too. I messed up that part of my presentation, but at least no one seemed to notice. But at least it's over with. But at least I did everything else well. Yeah. So that but at least balancing is a really awesome strategy to use.
This is really similar to an episode that we did recently on the difference between gratitude and toxic positivity. We hit on a very similar thing where we're not asking you in this case to ignore reality. But as Ashley mentioned, our minds are biased toward negativity. They see it more often. They weight it heavier. They believe it more quickly and more strongly. And that means that we are automatically biased. Just right out of the gate, we walk around with very biased thinking. So what Ashley's talking about here with, but at least what we talked about with a true gratitude practice versus just pretending like everything's positive with toxic positivity is exactly what Ashley said. You're balancing your thinking. You're saying, okay, I'm already biased in one direction. So I'm going to just put my finger on the scale in the other way in order to balance things out. And what you're doing again with all of these is training your mind to act more habitually in a way that's more helpful in the future. So none of them will happen immediately, but all of them over time will start to steer the boat in a more helpful direction. The last thing I'll say about all of this is if you encounter, you know, podcasts and blogs and whatever that are telling you like, I can get rid of your negative or your negative thoughts or your inner critic and blah, blah, blah. And it just doesn't seem like it's working for you. Please don't get down on yourself because again, this is just how our minds work. And it just evidence-wise, it doesn't work to try to get rid of them. So just know that you're trying to do an impossible task. And what our better situation is to change the relationship that you have with them and how you act regardless of what your mind is doing.
Yes. And if this is stuff that you want to dive deeper into, you can check out our Ascend program. We cover a lot of mindfulness, a lot of diffusion and acceptance, a lot of changing the stories that your mind gives you amongst a ton of other things. So it's really a fantastic program to help you be the best version of you, to live a life that you love, and to really make your mind work for you rather than against you. So you can check that out at peakmindpsychology.com/ascend.
And we'll make sure that we put that URL in the episode description, and we'll run some information after this to just give you a little bit more info. If you're interested, we would love to have you join us. Thank you guys so much for joining for this week. This was such an important topic, and it was one that we've wanted to cover for a long time just because we know how prevalent it is for folks. So hopefully this has given you a better understanding of your mind and how it works, of where these negative thoughts come from, why they're so prevalent, and what you can start to do to actually shift the way that your mind is habitually working. Thanks so much. We will see you next week for another episode of the podcast.
Tell me if this sounds like you. I'll finally be happy. I'll finally take a breath. I'll finally find some balance when I get through this crazy season of life. We hear that from so many people, and the fact is, many times, life is just a crazy season. All of it. Between your career, your family, your community obligations, attempting to have a social life, and trying to fit in self-care, whatever that is, we end up feeling stretched so thin. Now, I want to challenge you to think about things differently. Rather than focusing on external circumstances and their impact on your happiness, your sense of ease and balance, and your mental well-being, what if instead you focused on something you can actually control? What if you built the psychological strength that would allow you to thrive through life when things are going well and even when they're not? What if you could feel less scattered, more in control, less anxious, more peaceful and joyful? We want that for you too. That's why we are so beyond excited to announce the beta release of our signature psych strength building program, Ascend. This program combines evidence-based tools, techniques, and information from the fields of psychology and life design to focus on three important modules: you, your mind, and your life. Learn your unique combination of strengths, values, and identity, and the ways in which they interact and lead you to approach life in your unique way. Dig into your mind to understand the conscious and subconscious processes that act as a lens through which you experience life. And finally, harness the power of life design to begin to steer your life into alignment with who you uniquely are. Enrollment in this beta round of Ascend is open now, and because it's our beta round, the price is astonishingly low. So if you have ever had even a suspicion that you could benefit from building psychological strength through a guided, science-backed experience, now is the time. Visit www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend for more information and to join us. Friends, it is time to build psychological strength. It's time to live by design and not by default. It is time to live like your life depends on it, because it does. Join us in Ascend by visiting www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend. That's www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend. It's a simple fact that nearly everyone in the world could benefit from building psychological strength, but not everyone will put in the time and effort to do so, but today you did. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Building Psychological Strength. Now, if you're interested in building the mental toughness, confidence, and resilience you need to thrive through life's ups and downs, visit us at www.peakmindpsychology.com. Also, if there's someone in your life who could benefit from this episode, please share it with them. And if you yourself found this episode valuable, meaning if you took away even one insight that you can use to build psychological strength in your own life, we would so appreciate it if you would drop us a rating and a review on iTunes. The thing is, the more ratings and reviews we have, the easier it is to get this powerful and important content out to the people who need to hear it. Remember, your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest liability, and you get to choose. So choose wisely, my friend, and I'll see you next time on Building Psychological Strength.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.